Hello, everybody. How are you today? I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. I am broadcasting from sunny California today, the Bay Area in Walnut Creek. The skies are blue. The air is clear. Thank goodness. I'm so appreciative of clear air after experiencing some very, very smoky air just a few weeks ago. I want to bring on my guest. He's my favorite person, my favorite guest, and he is my partner, my life partner, and my partner at ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, the co-founder of our nonprofit, Responsible Eating and Living. He's the creative director. He's also an actor, director, producer, filmmaker, writer, teacher, and trained chef, and a genius. Welcome to It's All About Food, and thank you for joining me again, Gary.
Hello, Karen.
Oh, you're getting spooky.
I'm broadcasting as well from Northern California. Only we're in different parts of Northern California. I'm down in San Jose, California, and you're up in Walnut Creek. And the air was quite terrifying. And so happy that all of the folks are getting back into some semblance of their lives.
Normal. Some semblance of normal, right?
Yeah,
crazy
some
normal.
Some semblance of normal. I know many of them have lost their homes, and I'm going to dedicate this show today to all of them and to all those who are settling in and trying to restore their lives. I'll keep it lighthearted today, and we'll talk about Halloween.
Yeah, we're
can you hear me okay? Is everything coming in loud and clear?
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Great. I hear you. So if I break up a little bit, it's only because it's very scary here during Halloween.
You said that you wanted to keep it light and humorous, and I'm glad, but I will still get a little creepy.
Oh, yeah.
While we're talking about things, especially about Halloween.
Yeah, it's funny that, one day a year we think about, you know, things that are creepy. But, for example, every day is creepy in some people's lives. I mean, we celebrate lots of creepy things that we're unaware of. And so at Responsible Eating and Living, we're here to give awareness to some of these things that we think are, as you put it earlier, normal. Like celebrating flesh on our plates and really basing our lives around what type of flesh we're going to prepare for our one of our three meals a day. And but then again, I was a meat eater for many, many years, and or I should say a flesh eater for many, many years. And the one regret I have that I like to say when I'm on this show is my one regret about going vegan is I didn't do it sooner. So this is all about food, and we're going to talk about food today.
So, when I think about Halloween, when I was young, I remember a friend of mine in junior high school, I think it was junior high school, maybe it was high school, she was all excited about some local haunted house. And we all got very hyped up, and we went to this haunted house, and it was scary. It was scary because in one location, we had to crawl through a tunnel, and it was very claustrophobic. But I'm thinking about everyday haunted houses that are real and accepted. So you mentioned the flesh on our plate. Factory farms are haunted houses.
Yeah. Haunted houses, they're scary places. And the whole idea behind Halloween is kind of, I don't I don't really know why we celebrate Halloween. I never could figure that out. I know that people say it's based on the Day of the Dead, which many cultures celebrate. But here in the United States, it seems like, again, it might have been a great idea, but somehow it's been turned into a commercial, a way for companies to make money, a way for companies to sell candy and costumes and things of that nature, which is great and fine and fun, and everybody enjoys that. But when you really look behind what that is, it kind of takes the fun out of it. So what we're trying to do at Responsible Eating and Living is put the fun back into it and let you know that there are ways to celebrate vegetarianism or veganism and still have a good time. And so today we're going to talk about different foods that you can make for your family and friends if you're having a Halloween party that don't involve any death. They don't involve any pain or suffering, which is ironic because, you know, there's lots of ghoulish screams and scary laughs and things of that nature. But, I mean, really, I think it would be a great day to kind of see how close you could get to not having anything on the table that has any pain and suffering involved, and not have anything that you represent as far as your costume that has any pain and suffering involved. For example, costumes, let's get right to that. There are many famous vegetarians throughout history that you can dress up as, and it can be a really fun game that you can play with your friends to see if they can guess who you are, and then let them know, like, for example, dress up like Pythagoras. And, you know, he was the Greek scholar known for his math theorem, and he lived 2,500 years ago and ate a fleshless diet called the Pythagorean diet, until the word vegetarian became popular in the late 1800s. He said,
Gary,
and I quote, and you know,
Gary,
and you know,
what would Pythagoras wear? What would his costume look like?
Exactly. I really have no idea, but you would have fun researching that, and it would be a fun party to go to, because if everybody was there and they were in something that you had to ask, well, who are you? And maybe play a little game where you know that game that we play New Year's Eve at Tamara and Keith's, where everybody wears that sign on their back, and then you have to ask who they are, and nobody knows who they're walking around as, and if you guess who you are, then you guess who you are.
You know what I would do?
Right.
I would carry an old-fashioned looking pad or tablet and put the Pythagorean theorem on it and walk around with
that. Yeah, that would be great. Well, he said, as long as men massacre animals, they will kill each other. Indeed, he who sows the seed of murder and pain cannot reap joy and love. And so, you know, you could wear that around your neck, and people could try to guess. Quotes are big now. Or you could dress as Buddha, because Buddha was a vegetarian around the same time as Pythagoras. Siddhartha Gautama in India began a 25-year journey as a pauper, culminating in his enlightenment, or Buddha, or in Sanskrit. He embraced strict vegetarianism. He wrote that it is more important to prevent animal suffering rather than sit to contemplate the evils of the universe, praying in the company of priests. Ooh, now that's cool.
Ooh. I'm thinking
I'll give you one more, and then I'll give you more later on in the show. But
thinking about costumes. Like, if you wanted to be the Buddha, for some reason, for some people, it would be really easy. Just ball the big belly with some underwear, right?
Exactly. I mean, that would be a
cool
costume.
And a big smiley face, because the Buddha, we always see the Buddha as smiling.
Right. And But I thought that quote was really cool. It is more important to prevent animal suffering rather than sit to contemplate the evils of the universe, praying in the company of priests. I mean, that's pretty good.
We need to repost that one all over the place, because everybody is complaining a lot right now about what's going on in the world. And there's a lot of horror.
Right.
And we keep reminding people, start with your plate. Remove the violence on your plate.
Right. They're saying now that the United States is focusing more, as far as the politics of the United States is focusing more on bringing out the worst in people as opposed to bringing out the best in people. And I think we can all counter that by bringing out the best in ourselves and start reflecting that in everything we do. And I think it will ripple. It will have a ripple effect. I really do. And starting by, as you say, what is on your plate is the perfect, what you buy at the grocery store. How you view that flesh that's displayed in those pretty little refrigerated cases that are wrapped in cellophane and have those lovely price tags on them and made to look like anything but what they really are. I mean, that is where the real horror story lies. And again, I'm not standing in judgment of anyone because I, as I keep saying, was a flesh eater myself. But enlightenment takes time. And not everyone could be Karen Harkless, who figured it out at 14 years old. Okay, my third costume, and then we can go on to some other things about Halloween, is Leonardo da Vinci. Mm. Born in 1452, this Renaissance man was famous for his study of mathematics, again, mathematics, anatomy, engineering, art, sculpture, and aerospace. His vegetarianism has been credited to reading about the life of Pythagoras. He said, "My body will not be a tomb for other creatures." Okay, so those are three pretty cool costumes there for your vegan
Halloween party. Gary, you missed the best one.
Oh, I've got more. I've got lots more.
What about Frankenstein? That's such a popular Halloween costume, and how many people
know
that Frankenstein is vegetarian?
Yeah, I was going to end with Frankenstein, but I'm glad you brought it up because...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Frankenstein was a vegetarian, and Mary Shelley, the author of Frankenstein, was a vegetarian, and she's famous for that work, and was a practicing vegetarian. She made the famous monster of her classic tome, A Plant Eater, and wrote for him that, "My food is not that of man. I do not destroy the lamb and the kid to glut my appetite. Acorns and berries afford my sufficient nourishment." And in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the monster's name is not Frankenstein. It is the monster. Frankenstein was the doctor. So that's a common thing. But we all call the monster Frankenstein. Anyway, that's cool. Yeah, Mary Shelley and Percy Shelley, the author, was a vegetarian. And he wrote a book called A Vindication of Natural Diet, where he challenged meat eaters to, quote, "tear a living lamb with his teeth and, plunging his head into its vitals, slake his thirst with the steaming blood." So he told everyone, hey, if you really want to eat meat, go ahead and grab a lamb and bite into it and stick your face in the guts and tell me how you feel about it.
Yeah, because we really can't do that. Halloween is a fantastic metaphor for real life.
Absolutely.
Because,
yes.
We think about zombies and The Walking Dead. And most people today are The Walking Dead. They're in a trance. They're socialized and hypnotized to believe in a myth, to believe in a false dream. They're zombies.
Exactly. No, and more so now than ever with, I mean, you and I live in New York City, and we often walk down, well, we walk because we don't have a car. And most of the time now we spend, in addition to dodging cars trying to run us down in the intersection, people staring at their phones, walking on the sidewalks, and they literally bump into you and don't say, excuse me. And as a matter of fact, I've had several people get upset with me for not moving out of their way when they were staring at their phone. And to me, that's very zombie-like. It's very spooky. you don't really need costumes. You just need to go out on the street and watch what people are doing. And many of them are, you know, in this, as you said, in this catatonic state. You know, they're just somewhere else. They're not in the moment.
I also want to talk about monsters, because the monster in the story, Frankenstein, really was not an evil being. And we perceive many people as monsters who may have physical issues that are not normal. And they may not look pleasant to us, and we think of them as monsters. And it's really a terrible thing on our part to judge people that way. And then there are some very attractive looking people in, or not so attractive, but people that look normal to us who are terrific monsters and do really terrible things. And that's part of this crazy trance that we're in. We're perceiving everything backwards or flipped.
Exactly. And that's an interesting word, normal, because what we perceive as normal is, well, is flesh on our plates is normal. And really, when you step back and take a look at it, it's not normal. It's like saying, I'm only going to love my dog or my cat, but I'm going to eat a cow and a lamb and a chicken and a duck and a fish. Interesting. Very interesting.
I'm going to digress a little, but it's kind of related. And that is, I've been recommending this film for people to watch called Prosperity. And there's a link to it on our website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. It's a wonderful film, and I interviewed the filmmaker, Pedram Shojai. And he's also offering this course that goes with the film, which is a roadmap to prosperity. And he interviews a lot of wonderful people. And I think that it was all offered for free, and I think the program's done now. And a lot of people do this where they offer a number of things, interviews and things for no cost that you can watch. And then, like most of us, we don't have the time to watch it right when it's being offered, so you can purchase the package. I was only able to watch one video, but it blew me away. And I just wanted to share some of the thoughts. It was an interview with Lynn Twist, who wrote a book called The Soul of Money. And Halloween, we talk about souls too, you know, ghouls and souls and But the concept that she had that I really loved, and I can connect it to Halloween, I can connect it to everything. But she mentioned a number of things. Number one, we are all socialized to be consumers today, not citizens. Mm. And consumers only think about buying more and having more. And citizens think about nurturing our entire community.
Oh,
and when it comes to Halloween, we're major consumers, not just for all the cheap candy that people will buy. And I want to talk about cheap candy soon, too, and vegan candy and all kinds of candy stuff. We'll get to that, I hope. But they're also buying a lot of cheap costumes, poorly made, for that moment of consuming, rather than taking the time to really do something fun and maybe be creative and make your own costume. But we're consumers, we're not citizens. And then she also talked about the concept of money. Now, I've said many times on this show that I think capitalism is awful and it's done and we need to come up with something better. But she talked about how money originally was designed to help everyone, to equalize all of the goods that we might have, because when you're bartering and you only have one thing to sell, it's harder to get all the other things you need. So money was like a leveling field so everybody could purchase what they needed. But it's gotten so out of hand with banks and stocks and all kinds of things that now it's flipped, where money actually makes the disparity even greater. And she talks about that.
What's the name of this film?
The film is by Pedram Shojai, Prosperity.
What's the name of this program? Prosperity.
The film doesn't talk about this woman, But the Roadmap to Prosperity, which is a course that Pedram Shojai offers, he interviews this woman. Her name is Lynn Twist, and she has a book and a website called The Soul of Money.
That's amazing. That's a really cool twist.
And, and she talked about how she got into the work that she's in because she wanted to help the hungry. And through her work, she learned that, okay, we've got a billion people on this planet who are starving, and most of them are children. And how does that happen? Nobody wants that to happen. And at the same time, we have a very small number of people that have most of the wealth in this world. And a lot of them aren't even happy. She talked about
most
a different
of
kind of
aren't.
Hunger, a hunger of the soul, where people are not happy because what brings happiness, what brings good feelings? It's not momentary joy. It's not a momentary pleasure like a chocolate bar. It's doing good things.
Right.
It's being generous. It's sharing. It's being of service.
Exactly. I know that every time I feel like I don't want to help anyone, you know how you go through time during your week or your month, and there are days when you say, oh, gee, I just don't feel like doing anything for anybody anymore. And you feel so horrible after you say that to yourself. And then I turn right around whenever I feel that way and try and do something. I try to be of service to someone. And it always flips it and turns it around and makes me feel terrific. And I agree with what you're saying there. It's really what it's all about, to be of service.
We all have these moments, some more than others. I have something that I think is really fun when I find myself really negative and I'm walking in the streets of New York City, for example, and I'm looking at everybody, I'm getting really judgmental, and my inner voice is saying, oh, look at that person, look at that person. What I like to do is imagine everyone as blobs of light. And it's a really fun exercise because it takes away what people are wearing, what size they are, what they look like, what they're doing. And I just try and imagine everyone as blobs of light and then thinking positively about all that energy. It works for me.
That's
but
great.
Let's talk about candy. And I wanted to talk about
food. Yeah, let's talk about food. Halloween food.
Yeah.
Candy is a good place to start.
When I was young and I would go trick-or-treating, we lived in a development where a lot of kids were there and we all walked around unescorted by our parents because that back in the day that happened. Nobody was worried about kids getting abducted or whatever. And we walked around, we had our bags and we knocked on everybody's doors. And when we got the Hershey bar, that was a score.
Yeah.
Everything else was just not as good. And you would judge the homes by the candy that they gave.
Yeah, that was happening coast to coast because we were doing the same thing out here in California. and you grew up on Long Island.
What a terrible thing to judge people based on the candy they give.
Yeah. We used to have people give us walnuts, like walnuts in the shell, because we lived near walnut orchards. And I thought that was like the low end of what you're talking about. That was like, don't go to the... And I'll just make up a name. Don't go to the Joneses' house. They're giving walnuts. But go to the Smith's house. They're giving Hershey bars.
Yeah. And we have since learned that Hershey bars are not really the high end of chocolate. Hershey has a really bad reputation of using cocoa beans from the Ivory Coast, where child slaves are used to harvest the beans. Now, there's a creepy Halloween story for you. Child slaves helping to make chocolate.
Child slaves in your Hershey bar. Well, you did a lovely piece, or we did a lovely piece at Responsible Eating and Living that's still up on our site about chocolate. So I recommend to our listeners, check that out, because you learn everything you need to know about chocolate today and so much more from that piece. And,
let's talk about candy. We're talking about candy.
I'm looking at a list by our friends at Veg News, who we love, and they have a great list that they published in January of 2017, the Veg News Guide to Vegan Halloween Candy. And I'm surprised so many of these candies are vegan, because I may start eating candy again. I haven't eaten it in a while, but this is really exciting. Like, did you know that, oh, this was one of my all-time favorite candies as a kid, Chick-O-Stick. I don't know if anybody's had it. It's like a toffee, and it's wrapped in, or it's rolled in some kind of crunchy, sugary, peanut buttery.
Chick-O-Stick.
And crunchy peanut butter bars and gemstones and mint twists. And, I mean, there's just this whole list there. Check it out. It's vegan candy. You know, because a week from today, you're going to be having trick-or-treaters at your door. And what are you going to give them? Are you going to give them something that's cruelty-free and be ironic? Or are you going to go ahead and support cruelty by giving them something that's not? Oh, Clif Bars. Hey, now that would be a great... I mean, Clif Bars would be
Clif Bars are good.
You'd probably get labeled as the apartment that gives healthy food. Don't go there. Go to the apartment next door. They're giving you Hershey bars. If we give Clif Bars. But that's kind of a cool idea. I never thought of that. What did we give? We give really cool dark chocolate bars from different companies that make dark chocolate.
You know what I would give today? You know what I want to give out today, Gary?
Walnuts. No, I'm kidding.
Walnuts, yes, but ginger chews.
Oh, ginger chews or
ginger. They're our favorite candy.
What's the other name? That's our favorite candy.
Gingers.
Oh, I just saw this. The ginger people make ginger chews for Trader Joe's, but they also make Arjuna ginger bars, crystallized ginger, Gingins double strength hard ginger candy, Gingins hot coffee chewy ginger candy, Gingins original chewy ginger candy, Gingins peanut chewy ginger candy, Gingins spicy apple chewy ginger candy. I mean, the list goes on. Yeah, we love ginger chews. Let's give those out. But we're not going to be invited to anybody's Halloween party. We're here in California, and nobody will invite us because they don't want the vegans. I'm kidding. We have to make our own Halloween party. Anyway,
well,
there's a lot of candy.
Having a Halloween party, especially for children, is probably the better way to go than the old-fashioned way of trick-or-treating.
Right. Right.
Because, you can...
I'm interrupting you, but there's also this chocolate bar called Melk, M-E-L-K, Melk chocolate bars. Have you heard of them? They're vegan, but they're made with plant milk.
Ooh,
so for those of you who want for those of you who want milk chocolate, there is a M-E-L-K chocolate bars. Check those out.
Well,
those sound really good.
We like to buy Sujok's chocolate, which is made in Petaluma, California. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's S-J-A-A-K. And they also call some of their chocolate milk chocolate, M-E-L-K.
Right. And that's what I used to call milk until you made me aware of how I said milk. And now I'm self-conscious about that, and I try to say milk. Milk. Speaking of Halloween parties, we have a great Halloween party at the responsibleeatingandliving.com website. The Swingin' Gourmets and Happy Halloween. when I look at it, I can't help but laugh. And
come over to our website at our house and join our Halloween party, because it's really fun. And we have some great recipes for Halloween if you're going to have a Halloween party.
Yeah, so our Halloween party is cheese fondue made with cashew cheese, which is excellent. This cheese fondue recipe that we have is excellent, and we serve it with all kinds of little dipping things, like we do some fingerling potatoes, and we make some tofu masala.
Fingerling potatoes.
Yeah.
Finger.
Exactly.
It's supposed to be creepy, right? Underline fingerling.
Yes, fingerling potatoes. But the cheese itself, the common thing that we always hear, and I think we talk about it all the time when I'm on your show, and I'm sure you have other guests who talk about it, is that when we talk to people about going plant-based or going vegan. The one thing that they say is, I can't give up cheese. I could never give up cheese. Well, I want to tell you, this is a great way to start by, you can give up cheese, because I was a big cheese hound as well. And now the plant-based cheeses are getting so amazing and wonderful out there that you can buy. But you can start by making it at home. And we have so many great recipes. And it's really easy. All you need is a very powerful blender to make this this cheese fondue that we have, this cashew cheese fondue, and a stove and a pot to boil it in until it thickens. And we don't use any oil, because a lot of the cheeses out there on the market, the vegan cheeses and the plant-based cheeses, they use a ton of oil to simulate animal fat, because that's what cheese is. It's congealed fat with some rotting flavor. Remember that first time you ever ate blue cheese or Limburger cheese, or you smelled Limburger cheese, and it smelled like... And then you sort of forced yourself to like it because everybody else was. And what you're smelling is rotten milk, M-I-L-K. You're smelling...
You know, the oil also helps cheese melt.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it... But the flavors that we do like about cheese are all in this cashew cheese fondue, which we use a little miso in, a little nutritional yeast. We use mostly cashews and a little millet flour for thickening. It's not even starch. It's flour. It's millet, so it's gluten-free. And it's just a great recipe. And
there's a special secret ingredient in it, isn't there, Gary?
The secret ingredient is love.
Yeah. No, it has beer in it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could add beer to it, or if you don't like the flavor of beer, maybe you want it to be a little more like an actual fondue, then you could add some wine to it. And I think the wine that people use in fondue varies, so get your favorite fondue recipe out and look at what wine they use in that, and then just add a little bit to this cashew cheese fondue, and then don't add any turmeric to make it yellow. Just keep it a white cheese, and you've got yourself some actual Swiss fondue.
Mm. Yummy.
Yeah, it's
yummy.
Easy to leave out the pepper and the turmeric and just add a little bit of your favorite wine, and you've got yourself a fondue. But the key ingredient is love, because there's nothing harmful about this. No one's being harmed, and you're not. And it's a good fat, not a bad fat. And the things that you dip in it, like I said, we used fingerling potatoes. We used our tofu masala recipe. We also baked some tortillas, broke them up, and you could pour this right over a big stack of tortilla chips, and you've got yourself some instant nachos. Throw some peppers on top, and your favorite plant-based meat. And, you know, have a party.
Added another fondue in our Halloween fondue party.
Yeah.
We made a chocolate fondue. And it's the easiest
thing. That's a great recipe. Really great recipe.
Easiest thing.
And there's an instructional video on how you make it. Karen is there on screen teaching you how. It's not one of these really fast, quick-cut, trendy food videos out there where, you know, you see it in 60 seconds. I mean, this is like old school cooking show where Karen gives you step-by-step instruction, and it's so refreshing to see that now. I rewatched a lot of our food shows because the trend now is to do this 60 seconds and you see everything happen in front of you. But if you really want to just relax and kind of listen to Karen talk, and I mean, it's almost like watching Sesame Street when I watch Karen. I mean, I just get so relaxed and just kind of, you know, I chill out, and it's all of the tension and anxiety leaves, and I'm just like, oh, that's nice. What a nice cooking show this is. And the chocolate fondue, you call it a ganache, and it's true. When you put it in the refrigerator, you can make truffles out of this stuff. It's so good. I love it. If I was eating chocolate, I would want to make some right now, but I'm not. And the things that we dip in the chocolate fondue are things that, you know, you would dip, like cookies. We make these great finger biscottis, human fingers, biscottis shaped like human fingers, which I think is ironic and fun. And, oh, we put marshmallows. You know, there's lots of vegan marshmallows out on the market now. There's Dandies. That's a classic. And what are some of the other ones?
I think Trader Joe's even has a vegan marshmallow.
Trader Joe's has a vegan marshmallow.
Yeah.
And hard to find vegan. Here's something interesting. It's hard to find vegan graham crackers, but that would be, we have a recipe for them on our site. That would be a search. If you find them out there, let us know where you get them, because they're fun to dip in this chocolate fondue. And the biscotti recipe that Karen has is gluten-free, and you don't have to shape them into fingers, but it's fun to do at Halloween. These are the traditional biscotti that Karen makes and sends to her sister, Lori, because October, Lori is Lori's birthday. And that's how we started making these. Remember, before responsible eating and living.
I want to say also that these biscotti are addicting. You can't eat just one.
Yes. And there's a little drink that we make too. We have this Prosecco, and we use a little green juice, and we pour a little green juice at the bottom of a champagne flute, and then we add some Prosecco. And it's really kind of fun. It's a green, bubbly drink. And you could obviously do that with sparkling water if you don't want to drink any Prosecco. I wouldn't suggest giving the kids Prosecco because it's got alcohol in it. But there are other things out there that are non-alcoholic that you can add green juice to. And I have a question for you, Karen.
Yes, sir.
What... a lot of misconceptions about sugar. For example, what are your thoughts on sugar and diabetes?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, you know, I don't want to put the kibosh on Halloween and candy, but sugar is a processed food, and it really has no nutritional benefit. And for many people, it's addicting. And it can be more addictive than cocaine. So sugar has a lot of issues, and sugar is a processed food, like I said, but there are other sweeteners as well that are almost as evil as white sugar. Evaporated cane juice, which is what we always use, is a vegan version of sugar because charred animal bones aren't used in the process to filter the sugar and make it white. But honey and maple syrup and brown rice syrup and coconut sugar, these are all sweeteners. And if you have a tendency towards being an addict, you will really have adverse effects by consuming any of these sweeteners. Okay. It's interesting about sugar and diabetes because the latest research, if you read Dr. Furman's book, The End of Diabetes, or you listen to some of the Forks Over Knives information with T. Colin Campbell and his son, Dr. Tom Campbell, they talk about how diabetes is really caused by eating animal flesh and animal fat. And the fat kind of coats our cells and makes it harder for the sugar in our blood to get into the cell to nourish the cell, because ultimately we nourish ourselves on things like glucose. They can't get into the cell, and so they stay in the blood, and they wreak all kinds of havoc. And they did some crazy studies decades ago curing people, I think it was of diabetes, I forget now, by feeding them rice and sugar. Some crazy unhealthy diet, but when you eliminate the real problem sources, which is lots of saturated animal fat and animal protein, you can solve a lot of ills. Not all, because sugar is not a healthy food. So you might solve some problems in the short term, but You don't want to eat a lot of sugar. And yeah.
I thought that was very interesting about how the animal fat and the saturated fats coat the cells and don't allow the sugar to do what it's supposed to do. And that's really what wreaks most of the havoc is still we're talking about, yes, sugar is not a good food, but it's not food, really. It's like you said, it's a drug. But I thought that a lot of problems can be solved by eliminating animal fats from your diet, animals from your diet. And so thank you for that. That was
It's just back to the irony of Halloween, where everybody's collecting all this candy and eating all this candy. Halloween, we think about all these spooky figures, the Walking Dead, the dead. There's a focus on death. And then we're collecting all these candies that will speed up our own demise.
Yes. That's like you said, it's a metaphor for what goes on, for the bill of goods that we're constantly sold as humans here by a small group of people that control all of the money. And again, it's all connected. And to live responsibly, which is why we call our organization Responsible Eating and Living, the responsible part of that is to just be aware of how we're being swindled. It's not something new now with this present administration, like everybody is all of a sudden up in arms about, oh, this guy wants to swindle us. Yeah, I mean, he's a crook, but so are all of them. And there is nothing good about someone who stands in front of us and says, I'm going to solve all your problems, because no one can do that for you. And you've got to do it for yourself. I found out a long time after, I found out as an adult, and again, my one regret is not finding out sooner, but once you're enlightened, I'm not attempting to sound smug or even better than thou or holier than thou, because that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if I could see the light and make this switch and feel tremendous after doing it, I want everyone else to as well, because feeling that kind of power that you have over life and over the constant barrage of hucksters out there trying to sell you things only because they want your money and nothing else, that's really a great feeling of empowerment. And that's why Responsible Eating and Living is a nonprofit. We're here to give you the truth, get as close as we can to the truth, and want you to know that you have a place to go where, we're going to advertise all of the fun stuff too, the treats, Halloween shows, etc. But just know that it should be viewed as a treat and not a daily activity. Because sugar, when I see a sugar shop opening now, like these candy stores that are all over the place, and see these little kids in there, and parents are standing there going, oh yeah, buy a pound of that and buy a pound of this, because, we want you to have a happy childhood. It's also, like saying to them, and we want to speed up your demise. So I don't know if it's moderation that I'm after here, because I don't think moderation is necessarily a word that I would use anymore either. But once in a while, as a treat, it's great. Like once in a while, I have a treat, but the next day now, I feel it. It feels like if I eat candy the night before, if I eat candy and then I wake up, it feels like I have a hangover. Because I haven't eaten candy.
Yeah.
If I have salt now, if I go to a restaurant and they salt their food, I wake up and I feel like I've been partying all night. It's the strangest thing. It just knocks your body out and you're swollen and your eyes are, you have bags under your eyes and it's hard to, it's just the things that food do to you that before I became aware of all of this, I would just eat every single day, 365 days a year. I'd go through bottles and bottles and bottles of olive oil, thinking that olive oil was good for me. Olive oil is not good for you. If you want the taste of olive oil, just eat an olive. Or, have a blender handy. The same thing with salad dressings made with oils. It's not good for you. It's just not. I don't care what kind of oil it is. I don't care if you buy the oil from Spain or whatever it is, and it's got this fancy label on it, it's still just oil. And if you want a rich, oily dressing, take that powerful blender again, grind up some sunflower seeds, put some vinegar in there, throw in a little miso, add a garlic clove, a little ground a pepper. You don't need any salt because the miso is salty enough. And throw in your favorite herbs and spices and some water and blend that stuff up to a creamy dressing and throw it on your salad. And you have that richness of the oil, but you also have the fiber, which is incredibly important for you because we all want to do that one thing every morning that I won't get graphic about, but that's that bowel movement. We all want to have that bowel movement.
And, I always talked about bowel
and they get easier. With the more fiber you eat, they get much easier. So try to put as much fiber in your diet as possible. And good fiber, not bad fiber. What is a bad fiber anyway? Cardboard? Yeah, don't eat any cardboard. Don't eat any paper.
Are you a good fiber or a bad fiber? I'm not a fiber at all.
Are you a good witch? Are you a
Gary,
good witch
I wanted
or a
to talk
witch?
About costumes a little bit before we go. We have about 10 minutes left. And I was thinking about
good.
Costumes.
I still have some great costumes.
Because more and more, the clothing and the looks people have today look like they're dressed up for Halloween.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What makes Halloween any different from any other day of the week?
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy that's now going around calling himself the president of the United States, he kind of looks like a clown with his big red tie and his, and you know. Have you seen the New Yorker cover? I saw a picture of it. We're not home to get our New Yorker magazine, but everybody needs to go online and look at this week's New Yorker cover. It's hysterical. It's hysterical and
okay.
Scary and spooky. And I'm only going to say that, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. But it's pretty cool. And I saw it online. And have you seen it?
I haven't.
Oh, it's pretty.
Excuse me.
It's pretty cool. It's very cool.
I can't wait.
Anyway.
I would definitely check
it
out.
I mean, that's pretty
spooky.
I'm
thinking
in
terms of costumes.
That's a pretty spooky costume. Yeah, well, his costume is pretty spooky.
Who's it?
That big red tie.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking about how people color their hair today in cartoon primary colors and secondary colors, not natural human hair colors, but primary and secondary colors. And some various shades that aren't the natural human hair colors. And the clothes that we tend to wear and the jewelry and the makeup, some of it is really costume-like today.
Yeah, tattoos.
Tattoos
are really big now. And I remember, going out on Halloween and putting on a fake tattoo was like a sign that you were a motorcycle rider, and that was a really cool costume. Or you were branded with some kind of rebel if you wore a tattoo. And today it's perfectly normal. And I don't quite know how I feel about that. I don't think I have a problem with it, and I think it's okay. I just wonder where we're going with that. I guess body art and decorating yourself is, so again, I say be ironic, and if you really want to scare people, go as a human. go as someone who is just walking around staring at their phone. Because that's terrifying. A lot of the things that are going on now that I find myself doing, that I know a lot of us are doing, is very, it reminds me of Ionesco's play Rhinoceros, where everyone is turning into rhinoceroses, and there's this one guy who says, "I refuse. I will not capitulate. I will not be a rhinoceros." And that's his. You know, that's the end of the play. It's brilliant, and it's so current today. And I know Ionesco wrote it about fascism. He was anti-fascist, as I am. And we're in that world again. I mean, or have we ever left? Maybe that's it. Maybe we're just now being made aware that it's never gone away, like racism has never gone away.
Yeah, and I think Gary. It's just never gone away, and now we're aware of it because of the internet and social networking. We really can see ourselves as we really are. I want to know, Gary, what are you going to be for Halloween?
I have some more costumes. What's that?
What are you going to be for Halloween?
I want to go back to my childhood and be a beatnik. Maynard G. Krebs was really cool when I was growing up. Remember Dobie Gillis?
Oh, yeah.
I'm writing a play called Bad Hemingway by the Bay, which you are also involved with. And I'm really into the spoken word again. And, the spoken word underscored by jazz and bongos and things like that. It's a really cool play that I want everyone out there listening to come and see it. I think I'm going to revisit my inner Maynard G. Krebs, thanks to Scott Knaster for posting a picture on my Facebook feed of you and I as beatniks. So I think I'd like to go as a beatnik. Or I'll go as, here's another costume that I think would be really cool. Gandhi. Gandhi was trained as a lawyer. He turned to civil disobedience to lead a forceful movement for Indian independence. One of his most powerful mentors was the Jain philosopher Rajchandra, who stressed ahimsa, or extreme acts to avoid violence, to living things. Gandhi wrote that, "To my mind, the life of a lamb is no less precious than that of a human being. I should be unwilling to take the life of a lamb for the sake of the human body." Cool. And George Bernard Shaw is another vegetarian that would be a fun costume. And his influence, again, was Shelley. And to the economics of saving money on food during his lean years, he is most famous for saying, "Animals are my friends, and I don't eat my friends." And finally, who we just lost, Dick Gregory, who was known for his humor and political activism, even entering the 1968 presidential race. He was a student of Gandhi and wrote Dick Gregory's Natural Diet for Folks Who Eat in 1974. He wrote that Martin Luther King taught us all nonviolence. I was told to extend nonviolence to the mother and her calf. I mean, what a great way to end, huh? My costume rant.
Yep. Beautiful.
So, there's a lot of really cool things that we could do out there as activists and as vegans, or if you call yourself a plant-based dieter, or if you call yourself a vegetarian, or if you call yourself a compassionate human who thinks that all living things on this earth deserve to do just that and live, there's a lot we can do at Halloween that will continue our activism work. And don't forget that at Responsible Eating and Living, we have lots of great recipes. I remember you just read something to me about one of your I don't know if she's a listener, but she was someone that wrote on one of your blogs, which your daily blog is really awesome, Karen. I just really want to encourage everybody out there to read it. It's really cool. And you get comments all the time, and this one comment was, "Where do I start with tofu? How do I make tofu?" Go to Responsible Eating and Living and make our baked tofu recipe. That's a perfectly wonderful place to start, and it's so easy. You just need tofu and a couple of ingredients in an oven, and I think you'll be sold.
Yeah, and we eat it all the time, and it pairs very nicely with baked potato fries, where you can use yellow or sweet potatoes or any potato you like. Everybody likes fries. Fries that are baked and not fried are even better, I think, than French fries.
And now let me ask you the same question, Karen. What are you going to go as this year for Halloween?
Well, if you're going to be a beatnik, I'll probably be one. But I'm thinking maybe I could go as a compassionate vegan.
Hey, that's even better. A compassionate vegan beatnik.
Yeah, something like that.
I think we're on to something here.
Yeah, and have my trick-or-treat bag filled with walnuts.
Hey, and don't forget, Albert Einstein was supposedly a vegetarian, although I know a lot of people argue about
that. That's a myth. That's a myth.
Really?
Yeah, that's a myth. He did say some wonderful things about, there are some great quotes attributed to him about not eating animals, but his second wife prepared all kinds of meals for him, and they had plenty of flesh in them.
So, boo.
Boo, boo.
What about Jonathan Safran Foer? He's that author of that great book, Eating Animals, which we've read. Is he still a vegan, or is that jury still out about that?
I don't think so. You know, I don't want to pass judgment, but he wrote a very brilliant book. It was very honest and intimate, and he talked about how he struggled with making the choice. The argument seemed very powerful to be vegan, but it's hard for people. It's hard for people in social situations, raising children, and we've got this obsession with eating animal products.
With eating flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary, we've got just a few seconds left, so we need to wrap up this spooky program.
Okay, well, I think that eating flesh is scary, so... So every day is Halloween in my world.
Yeah, every day.
Probably that's a lot. There's a lot of flesh eating going on out there. And I know that it's difficult to change, but it can happen.
Here's the message: we want not only to tune in love during this hour, but think about Halloween as a way to change. A way to really put love into Halloween rather than making it another day to do more trance-like, zombie-like things that aren't good for you and aren't good for the planet and aren't good for your family. Eat some of these wonderful things that we've put together at ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com and wear some costumes that kind of reflect something really positive.
Yeah, and brush your teeth because that stuff wreaks havoc on your teeth.
I mean, don't forget to brush your teeth. All right, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food, Gary.
Don't forget to brush your teeth. That's a good costume.